Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Call into us today for your flu and COVID vaccines at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.
Clinical child psychologist and our regular parenting expert, Dr. David Coleman, joins me now. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Claire.
Lovely to have you with us. And if you have any questions for David, you can still get them into us, 51551, or email todaycb@rte.ie. Now, David, we're going to start with a question about siblings who won't stop fighting. So here's the question from our listener. My two older children, aged 6 and 5, are fighting a lot, both verbally and physically, since the arrival of our new baby. They love their new sibling, but the relationship between them has deteriorated and it's difficult to see. We're trying to label emotions and encourage kindness, positive ways of expressing emotions, but the arguing is constant. So the question is, should we intervene in every argument or let them try to find a way through it themselves?
So I think in this instance, they probably need to intervene, but it's not so much intervening to try and just break up fights and stuff like that. But I think they need to go back to the fact that the big change seems to have happened since the new baby has come into the house. And that suggests then that that's been significant for them and that there's something about that change in the dynamic, in the sibling dynamic, that has led them to feel maybe more competitive with each other or more jealous of each other. And you could imagine that, you know, I mean, if they're 6 and 5, so they're pretty close in age anyway, and so there may well already have been a little bit of competition between them, and now the pie though is just, you know, one slice smaller, and so it may be that what they're trying to do is just fight for your attention and your time and so on. And what they may have recognized, of course, is that if they are fighting a lot, even though they wouldn't necessarily consciously be going out to fight to get your attention, it's quite likely that the mom and the dad are paying more attention to them because you feel like you have to intervene, because you feel like you have to try and talk with them and so on. And so it may be that all of that unconsciously or subconsciously is actually leading to the fighting. So I would suggest talking to them a lot about what it means to have this new baby here and how different things are and how that might mean that they feel maybe a bit, you know, nervous that they're just not going to have the time that they used to have, that it feels different, that it feels maybe upsetting. Lots of different kinds of suggested feelings that you think they might have about the arrival of their little brother or sister. And I think when you do that, then you just take some of the pressure off and it will help them recognize that actually, maybe it isn't so much about each other that they have the issue. Maybe it is about the fact that they just need some time to adjust to the new baby.
Yeah, and time might be the thing there. You know, everyone will find their balance as time goes on, and if you manage it a little bit too.
Yeah, exactly. And so, I would definitely be continuing to talk to them as opposed to just leaving them at it.
Yeah. Now, this next one. Would David have any advice for a 10-year-old girl who gets very easily upset and has always been a bit cranky since birth? If I annoy or upset her, she then follows me around the house trying to rehash the argument, even though the issue is resolved. She will not let it go and will hold on to it all day. It drives me to despair. Any advice there, David?
Well, I'm interested to know, actually, I'd love to know how the mom in this case is responding to her daughter following her around the house, trying to rehash the argument. Because if it's the case that the mom is as frustrated as she sounds and as despairing as she sounds in the email, then it's quite likely that she's being maybe abrupt and just trying to cut her daughter off. And I think that might be then, you know, adding to the whole issue continuing that her daughter, it's almost like her daughter's trying to get back into her mom's good books, and if she feels that her mom is just not engaging with her and wants her to stop, you know, stop arguing, stop coming back, you know, all this kind of stuff. So maybe rather than coming back and so it's not about rehashing the argument, but it might be about talking with her daughter about the fact that she's upset, about the fact that it's been hard for her, that she's had to say no, the mom has had to say no, or that the mom is holding whatever limit the mom has held. And I think it's that acknowledgement of the feelings that her daughter has about whatever decision the mum has had to make that I think will actually allow her daughter to maybe let it go just that little bit sooner. Ultimately, I think, if she's kind of been cranky since birth and she's easily upset, then I think the more you can help her make sense of her feelings through empathy and acknowledging her feelings, guessing at the feelings you think she has, I think that just gives her more and more chance of becoming able to regulate her own feelings. And that's ultimately what we want with kids, that mm-hmm. they can regulate their own feelings enough. So lots of emotional kind of support for her daughter, I think, is the way to go, rather than just maybe blocking her or trying to ignore her or trying to, you know, kind of get away from her almost.
Yeah, I can understand the frustration, though, of the mother if the daughter is following her around the house trying to reignite a situation that she thought was resolved.
Exactly. And there are a lot of kids who really struggle, you know, when even though we seem clear in our own head that no means no, you know, kids just don't necessarily want to accept that. And so there are a lot of children, and I think it is a very common thing, maybe not to quite the extent described here, but there are a lot of kids who will keep coming back, who won't be able to let something go, who won't be able to accept it. And so, again, sometimes that might be because maybe we haven't acknowledged their disappointment at the decision we've had to make, that it's been upsetting or disappointing for our child. And again, when we do that, it shows that we do see them. We do see that this is upsetting, and yet we're still holding the line, as opposed to a child coming back, maybe trying to give us the message like, you know, you don't realize quite what the impact this has. Like, this is devastating me. This is destroying my life. And you're still making the decision. How horrible are you as a mom or a dad? And so we do have to acknowledge that bit first. And that then usually helps kids to kind of move on, and then they can let the issue go.
Right. And if people are listening to this and they think, oh, I have something I need to ask David, todaycb@rte.ie, that's the email address. Get it into us. And if we don't get to it today, David will, of course, be back with us in a couple of weeks. I want to ask you about this young boy who doesn't like group sports. So my son, says this listener, is in primary school and doesn't play group sports and plays with girls at school to avoid soccer in yard with the lads. Is there any way to help him to play a bit more with boys? And the parent says, I'm afraid of possible future bullying. Now, should that person encourage that boy to do something that he clearly doesn't want to do?
So, I mean, it's not necessarily about encouraging him to play group sports, because that seems pretty clear. He doesn't really like group sports, doesn't seem to really enjoy the soccer in the yard. And that's not to say, though, that he can't have friendships with boys as well as friendships with girls. And so I guess for the moment, maybe it's just about, you know, trying to encourage him to have balance in terms of the friendships that he has. And it may be about trying to find, you know, perhaps there are other, you know, lads in the class who aren't as mad into football. Maybe one of those might be the lad to connect with, maybe, you know, arranging a play day or whatever. I mean, depends on what age. I mean, if he's 11 or 12, you know, as a parent, you might want to start arranging play days. But if he's only six or seven or eight, you know, it might be worth seeing, are there some of the lads in his class that he can connect with, but maybe away from that whole sporting arena. And I think that's probably the best way to approach it. I wouldn't be worried too much about the bullying, because I mean, there is a thing sometimes that, you know, we can spend a lot of time worrying about stuff that may never happen. And so, you know, when it does happen, it might be upsetting, and we might have to try and deal with it at that point. And yet we can't deal with it right now. And so all the worrying just is entirely wasted, because you can't do anything about it now. So, I mean, yes, if at some stage he does become bullied, well, then that'll be a significant issue to deal with. But I think you can let that go for the time being. And if you think you'd like him to have a bit more balance, so that he's got, you know, friends who are girls and friends who are boys, then maybe it's just about trying to arrange some meetups with some of the boys in the class, maybe who may be just showing, again, a little bit less interest in soccer and all that kind of stuff.
All right, here's one now, which I would imagine is a concern for quite a few parents at this time of year. How can I manage the expectations of my young son who wants a particular games console for Christmas but won't be getting it? I'm upset because I know he will be devastated on Christmas morning. There's only one other child in his class who doesn't have this console, and I'm told he will have it this year. First world problems, I know, but I'm already sad for him. And there'll be plenty of parents who know that Santa won't be able to gift a certain thing this Christmas, but they'll be under immense pressure to try and sort that out.
Yeah, it is. It's very hard. And again, this is another situation, because you don't really know how it's going to turn out. But if it is the case that the gift doesn't come as your child is expecting, then really, again, what you have to be ready for is that potential for devastation, or certainly, you know, massive disappointment. And again, if we can kind of connect in with the devastation and the disappointment, rather than just trying to offer kind of bland reassurances, or, you know, trying to chivvy them along, or just encourage them to be happy because it's Christmas and because there's loads of other presents that have come. become, if we miss, you know, that kind of acknowledgement of the feelings of the disappointment or the devastation, I think that's when, you know, it could drag all the way through the day. And so if it's the case that, you know, for a period of, you know, I don't know how long it could last in the morning, if it is the case that he's disappointed that this consult doesn't come, then I think it's about being ready to respond to him and acknowledge that and spend the time with him, letting him know that you can at least understand how devastating this was for him, that you'd, yeah, he was probably really hoping and, oh, isn't it such a shame that Santa couldn't manage it this year? And, you know, and then, you know, you can maybe move him along in terms of reassuring him about maybe sometime in the future that this is something that might happen, or other ways that you might just distract him in positive ways about some of the other presents and so on. Mm-hmm. But I think it's just about sitting with the devastation, if that's what you expect might happen.
And a good bit of preparation as well, David, would you say, starting now?
Preparing
the child.
Yeah, it's hard though, I think, for parents to manage expectations, other than reminding kids that, you know, you can ask for lots of different kinds of things. It's not necessarily the case that you'll get it, and that sometimes when we don't get the things we ask for, we might feel disappointed. So you can certainly do that kind of preparation with him, just reminding him that it is always possible that you know, even though he's asked for something, that it might not come. And I think that's just the reality for lots and lots of children. You know, there's a lot of kids for Santa to get around to, and so of course there will always be some children who may be disappointed, you know, on the day. And so I think, yeah, you can certainly tee your children up with that kind of recognition. And then obviously, but it's on the day, I think, you know, you can't preempt what that disappointment might be like for your child. Mm-hmm. So it's really just about being ready to deal with it, making sure you've created a bit of time on Christmas morning for dealing with the devastation.
It's a tricky time of year, and we're just out of time now, David, but it is tricky for parents, isn't it? It's a very busy time of year. So you're dealing with overtired children, and then you've got the weight of expectation as well in these weeks.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I think as a parent, you're always trying to manage kids' expectations, you know, not just about Christmas. I think we spend half our lives trying to remind them that certain things will or won't happen, and just giving them that sense that, you know, along with all the joy that comes is also sadness at times, is also a bit of suffering. And I think it's really for most parents, though, just trying to create enough time that we can respond to the emotional bit of it, even though we are flat out trying to arrange all the other practical stuff, you know, certainly coming up to Christmas, and you're probably trying to arrange for food and Christmas Day and all the rest of it, and visiting, and you know, yeah. I mean, there's just so much on everybody's plate. But
and trying to be David Coleman as well in the midst of it all. David, thanks so much.
David Coleman has always been successful at Christmas time, but anyway.
Well, I'm sort of glad to hear that. David, thanks so much. We'll talk to you again very soon. That's Dr. David Coleman, clinical child psychologist.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.